Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Brief update on the Africa mission. I am on my way to Tanzania as we speak. This is a pre-recorded message, and so we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your support, your intercession, and we're looking forward to a great crusade in Ngozi, Burundi, and in Tanzania in Dar es Salaam. We're going to be setting up in Dar es Salaam for 5 days, and we're working with a great team of pastors and worship leaders there in Tanzania. And so I ask for your continued prayers, and we thank you if you've never donated to help with the Africa Crusades or with the mission projects over there in Africa. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for contact information. But now is the time to join the kingdom of God and watch to see what God will do in Africa and see how God wants to move in Africa and also to see how God wants to move in your life. And so as we continue to do the work of the Lord here, I pray that you would continue to do the work of the Lord in your place. And if that means if God is putting on your heart to help support this mission, that you would do that. Sit down, write out a check, or go to the website, gatheroutcast.com, make a contribution with your credit card through PayPal, and God will bless you. He wants to see the kingdom move forward in your life and in Africa. And so we thank you for those who are doing that. Well, today we're going to be talking about the story of Gideon. This is going to be the final episode in this 3-week series on dealing with fear and overcoming fear in your life. And again, just as a recap, Gideon was picked out by the Lord to lead the children of Israel into battle against the Midianites. And Gideon was in fear, as were all the children. They had been tormented. They'd had stuff stolen from them. The produce of their land was continually being stolen by the Midianites. And beloved, this is a picture of how the devil messes with us. He comes in, he steals from us, he torments us, he terrorizes us to where we cower in fear and we don't want to move forward. But beloved, I know that God has a better plan for you. He wants to see you move forward. He wants to see you prosper, and he wants to see you with a hope and a future. And to you, for those of you who have not walked into your destiny and your calling, he wants to see you walk into your calling and to celebrate the fact that God is with you and not against you, and that God is covering you and protecting you. And so when you do these things and walk in confidence and stretch out your faith towards the kingdom of God, God reciprocates, he blesses you, and he multiplies those blessings upon your life. And so Gideon was appointed. He was given the task of leading the Midianites, leading the children of Israel against the Midianites. And we take it up here in chapter 7, in verse 13, and this is the beginning of the battle. And Gideon is given a dream. When Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion, and he said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and it came to a tent, and it struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." And then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Well, the loaf of barley bread resembles the children of Israel, the humble, because barley was a lesser grain. It was a grain for the poor people. And so the tumbling loaf of barley bread represents the children of Israel going into the camp of the Midianites and represents Gideon, who was of this weak clan. And so this dream was given to this companion and relayed to Gideon, and it gave great strength to Gideon because he knew that God was opening up the door for him to take and to defeat the Midianites. Well, beloved, many times God will give us a dream or a vision to strengthen us in our walk, to encourage us. I myself was given a particular dream regarding the Africa mission back in 2009. I had no desire really to go to Africa. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't something that I was even thinking about. And yet God gave me this dream, and it was so clear, it was so distinct, and in very vivid detail. he showed me that he was going to be opening up the door for me in Africa, and he was going to bless me, and he was going to give me the message, the provision, the intercessors. He was going to give me the people out there to speak the word to, and behind me on the platform was a big grain bin, a big grain silo filled to the top with ear corn provision for the mission in Africa. And I had in my left hand a bag that said Revelation 22 on the front of the bag, and the bag was filled with ear corn. And then in my right hand I had a Bible, and I was speaking the message. And you all know the message of Revelation 22 is the new heaven, the new earth, the tree of life, and the river of life flowing down from heaven. And so that is the message that God has given me, to tell people that heaven is real, that heaven is a place where he wants to reside with his people. He wants his people to come to know him in eternal life and for all eternity. And that is God's desire. It is his will. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says that God is not slow about his promise, but he is desiring that all should come to know him, that every single person should repent and should confess the name of Jesus, should come to know him, should turn from their wicked ways and confess Jesus and come to know him. So God's plan for you is that you would come to know him. God's plan for your children is that they too would come to know him. And it's his plan for your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father. And so if you have people in your family who don't know the Lord, just keep praying, stay diligent, stay faithful. Believe that God's plan for them is the greater plan. And beloved, you will see that plan come into existence. You will see that plan come into reality here on this earth. And so it was when Gideon was given the dream and the interpretation that he worshiped God. He returned to his camp and of Israel, and he said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." And then he divided the 300 men. If you remember from last week's message, Gideon ended up with only 300 men to take the battle to the Midianites. He started out with this huge total of 32,000. And then God kept paring down this number. First he took it to 22,000, and then he took it down to 300. And he wanted to show Gideon and the children of Israel that it wasn't their strength, it wasn't by their might or their strength or their strong arm that gave them victory in the battle. It was the strength of the Lord. It was the might of the Lord. And so he was left with 300 men, and they were the 300 then that went into the battle against these huge army of the Midianites. And so God showed them that he was strong enough for them, and they didn't have to rely on themselves. Well, verse 16, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And then verse 19, Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outpost of the camp of the Midianites at the beginning of the middle watch, and just as they posted the watch, and the three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Well, God is faithful when he promises he's going to be there for us, when he promises that he's going to be there and help us defeat our enemies. He is able to do that. And they took the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands. Well, the torches represent the fire of God. God led the Israelites that were coming out of Egypt. He led them by fire by night and by cloud by day. And the presence of God is always represented by fire. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind, on the day of Pentecost, the Lord came to them as tongues of fire, and he rested upon them. Each and every person had a tongue of fire resting upon them. And so God is always represented as fire, and that represents the passion of God, the passionate fire of God. If you have fire in your life, you have a passion about something. If you're on fire, you are zealous for something. And so I pray that you're on fire for the kingdom of God today. And also that fire represents the cleansing of God, the purifying nature of God. When you invite God into your life, he will purify you. He will burn out all that is not of him. He will burn out all the dross and take all the garbage out and burn it out so that only thing is left is pure gold and pure silver. And he will burn out all the stubble and the hay, the straw, everything else that in you is not of God. And so that's what the fire represents. The trumpet represents the coming of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes in all of his glory to gather up the saints in the rapture, it says that the trump shall sound. And so that will be the beginning of the rapture. You'll hear the trumpet and you'll hear the shout of the Lord. And then all the church, first those who are in the graves, shall be caught up together with the Lord. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord. Paul tells us, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that we shall all be caught up with the Lord. And then Paul says to encourage each other with these words, that we will always be with the Lord. And so the fire represents the cleansing and the purification and the zeal, and the trumpets represent the coming of the Lord. And so when Gideon blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and the trumpets and were sounding, and the torches were blazing, and so all of these Midianites were in terror. They knew that their day had come, their day of demise had come. And every man, verse 21, stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And then the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And we're talking about the Midianites here. Throughout the whole camp, and the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerara as far as the border of Abel-Meholah by Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered together and pursued the Midianites. Well, beloved, that is the way the Lord wins. He doesn't need us to go out and do hand-to-hand battle with the enemy. All he wants us to do is be obedient. All he wants us to do is worship the Lord. All he wants us to do is pursue the Lord, and God will take care of your enemies for you. God will release his angels, and he will send his angels, and they will have a charge of watching out over you so you do not strike your foot against a stone. Well, at the end of this passage of Scripture, at the end of this story, it says, thus Midian, verse 28, was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more, and the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. And so God gave the Israelites victory over the Midianites, and they had peace and they had prosperity for 40 years. Beloved, if you could have 40 years of peace and prosperity for your life right now, how would you do it? The best way to do it is to seek the Lord with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul. The best way to do it is submit yourself to the Lord's plan in your life. And he's not interested in your sacrifice. He's not interested in your burnt offerings. What God is interested in is your obedience, and he will lift you up and he will defeat your enemies. If you're trapped in drug addiction or alcohol addiction, or you're trapped in depression, or you're trapped in financial ruin and bankruptcy, or you're trapped in just fear and you can't go out of your house, whatever you're trapped in, God will defeat your enemies. You give your life over to God, you submit to him one day at a time, one battle at a time, and you be obedient to the Lord, and he will release his angels to fight for you. You don't have to take on the battle yourself. The battle is the Lord's, and he will release his angels to fight for you, and your enemy will be defeated. Well, what exactly is fear? It is a feeling that comes over us. It is inspired and instigated by the devil, and it is a type of torment that the devil brings into our life, where we're fear of every little thing. Maybe it's just something small, maybe it's something big, but we start to fear, and then the devil compounds it by sending more demons to torment us, sending more demons to speak to us that we have no help, that God is not there for us, that he has abandoned us. And so when we start to focus on the devil's plan and what the demons are speaking to us, then we forget about what God has spoken. And God wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. And the way that you combat fear, first you speak to that mountain, and then you step out in faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. The more you release faith into your life, the more you step out in that little measure of faith and believe for things that you can't see, then fear starts to dissipate. Then fear starts to go away. You believe for that which you cannot see. That's faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Beloved, faith always requires us to step out into the unknown. Faith goes before us. It's the shield of faith that is in front of us. It requires us to step out into the unknown, and we have to step out believing for things that we cannot see. Every year, as soon as I get the money, I order my plane tickets way ahead of the Crusades, way ahead of the time of departure, because I want to show the Lord I'm believing that I'm going to be stepping my feet on the soil in Africa. I'm believing I'm going to be stepping my feet on the soil of Tanzania, Burundi, and so I make all those plans way ahead of time. And I affirm to the Lord, Lord, I'm believing for things that I cannot see. I'm believing for things that I'm hoping for, but I'm convinced, the conviction of things not seen, I am convinced that God is going to provide the provision that I need to get me there. He's going to provide everything I need in terms of security and worship teams to stand beside me. Everything that I need will be supplied by the Lord. And so I sleep well at night. I don't have anxiety about those things, and every single time that I've been to Africa, God has provided, and He will do so for you as well. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, so it is a substance. You can actually build your faith. The more you step out in faith and believe for things that you cannot see, God starts to multiply that. He starts to increase it, and so your faith may start out very small, but as you see victories, as you step out and see things accomplished for yourself and for the kingdom, then God adds to your faith, and those things that you could not believe for a few years ago, now you can believe for the bigger things. But it starts with the faith of a mustard seed. Matthew 17:17, the disciples brought this young man to Jesus, and he had been tormented by seizures, and the young man's father asked the disciples to cast the demons out of him, and they could not do it. And so Jesus said to them in Matthew 17:17, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring this young lad to me. And so Jesus called them a faithless generation. And you would think walking with Jesus, they would have lots of faith. They would have all the faith that they needed, just seeing the miracles and all the many great things that Jesus had done, all the miraculous healings. But Jesus said to them, O you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Jesus wants us to step out in faith. He wants us to know that He is with us. He wants us to be encouraged in knowing that whatever we do for the kingdom, He will be there for us. And Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, to the disciples, because of your unbelief, you were not able to cast out these demons. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so all of us have been given a measure of faith. Every single person, you go out there and start your car by faith, do you not? Without knowing how it works, you put your key in the ignition and you start your car. We have no idea how all of the electronics work and how all the combustion works, but we believe it's going to because we've seen it happen in our life at other times. And so it is with the kingdom of God. You go out and you take that little measure of mustard seed faith that you've been given, and you do something, a little tiny thing. You take a forward step in the kingdom of God, and God will bless you, and He will start to increase your faith. And as you see faith working in your life over and over, as you see faith working and you see prayers answered and you see people get healed and you see miraculous turn of events in your finances or in your addictions or whatever it is God wants to release you from and release you into faith. When you see those things happen and you see positive results, then God will continue to encourage you and give you more confidence, and He will then bless you in greater measure with the faith that He gives you. Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was taken so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, we're talking here back in Genesis about Enoch, and the scripture there in Genesis says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. That Enoch walked with God and he was not. So Enoch was a man of great faith. He pleased God. The scripture here tells us in Hebrews 11:5 that he pleased God, and so he was taken and he did not see death. Well, beloved, that would be nice, but Jesus also says that if you know me, you will never die. And so you're not going to taste death. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to taste death. The moment you close your eyes here on this earth, you're going to be escorted by the angels into the kingdom of God, into heaven, and you'll sit down with Jesus and the angels and all the ancestors, all of our cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us. We will sit down with them, and we will rejoice in our Heavenly Father's presence. We will rejoice in the presence of Jesus and the angels. And so just as Enoch was taken, you will see Enoch up there, and he will be there, and he did not taste physical death. Well, James 5, verse 15 says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Jesus said, if there's any sick among you, pray over them, bring them to the elders, let the elders anoint them with oil, and pray over them. And so James says in verse 15 here, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And confess your trespasses, verse 16, to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so as you pray for those who are sick, as you pray over your own sickness, your own weakness, your own infirmity, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or it accomplishes much. And so we pray in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we exercise our faith. God gives us that little measure of faith to defeat the fears in our life, to combat the fear, and then we are pleasing to God when we pray for people, when we pray for those in our family who are sick. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. You don't have to have any power. It's not your power. Get over that idea that you're somehow risking your power, that you're risking your reputation, that you're risking your pride. Just get over that and pray with people. And it says that the prayers of the saints, the effective, fervent prayer of a man who believes, or a woman who believes in faith, the effective, fervent prayer then of a righteous person avails much, or it accomplishes much. And it accomplished much here on this earth. It accomplishes much for the kingdom of God. I've seen many miraculous healings of people, primarily in Africa, but also in Costa Rica. I saw God raise a man from the dead in Costa Rica. I saw God give a blind man his sight in Africa and reduce a brain tumor in a person's head, and many other things. A lady that couldn't sleep, hadn't been able to sleep for over a year, was being tormented and slowly going insane. God gave her peace and drove out all those demons of torment out of her life, and she slept that night after the crusade. And so many, many things can be accomplished when the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person is offered up to God. It's not your power, it's God's power, and He will answer the prayers of the saints. Well, beloved, again, I'm coming to you from Africa. This is a pre-recorded message. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your donations. If you have never supported Gather the Outcast Ministry, I pray that you would do that now. I ask you to make a sacrifice and step out in faith and believe that God is going to use your money to bring many into the kingdom and also to provide a home for the children at the Living Water Orphanage site there in Kenya. And so we thank you for those of you who have supported us in the past, and we invite all of you to participate. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.